Namaste. So today we take up this poem. It's a short, beautiful poem, A Thing Seen. And there are many fascinating things in this small poem. There is in it a method we find sometimes in some mystic poets, that they will almost set the poem like a puzzle. Some of Amir Khusro's writings you will see. Of course, nobody comes near Sri Aurobindo in his poetic genius, but you will see that he is describing something, and then he says, tell me what it is. So you will say one thing, and then he said, no, it's this. So there is that aspect in this poem, which makes it very sweet and beautiful. But very importantly, there is an aspect of the divine which we completely miss, especially with this Mayavad. And in even normal life, we think divine is only when we are doing some big things. So divine, when you give a talk, oh, divine is, and hopefully a good talk, oh, divine is working. But when you are sweeping the floor, are, what is there in this? But several places Sri Aurobindo reminds us, in the dining room, one of my favorite quotes, that there are two things perfectly pleasing to God in his servant: those who sweep his floors in silent adoration. And the other is those who fight for his divine consummation in humanity. So we have Shabri, we have Lakshman, we have Bharat, we have Hanuman, we have Nishadraj, all these, Jatayu. So the divine does not measure us based on big things. That is our human notion. There is a very nice little story of, I think it is Amal Kiran, that he had done a little painting and taken it to the mother. The mother sees a part of the painting and said, this is very beautifully done. So he felt quite ashamed, because that was the only time he was remembering an offering to the mother. So there is this word which Aurobindo uses, Samam Brahmam. So he uses this in Life Divine. The divine is equally pours his energies in a blade of grass, molding or shaping a blade of grass, as in the drift of the galaxies. We have that marvelous line from the poem Who? The hand that sent Jupiter spinning through heaven spends all its cunning on shaping a curl. Look at how mother, while playing tennis, at the same time while fighting the Second World War. In all these, it is the divine pouring energy. Big or small are human conceptions. And of course, from the divine work point of view, yes, there may be certain works which are which have a great impact on the divine consummation, like Arjun. That's why he said those who are fighting. But as far as the divine is concerned, he pours equal energy and takes equal delight in all things. That is what is Saag Vidur ke ghar khana. To eat Saag in Vidur's house, he takes delight. So here, this poem is like that. Let me not build more suspense. Let's start with the poem. She, what happens the moment we say she in her garden? See how our mind starts working. Probably there is a woman whom he is talking about. She in her garden, near the high grey wall. So she is somewhere around a wall which is high and grey, sleeping. What a sweet little, most people when they read, at least it happened with me, I thought, who is this? Is it an apparition, some angel whom he saw sleeping? A silver-bodied birch tree tall. Now that there is a tree, there is a wall on which she is sleeping. And this is the birch tree that held its garments over her white and green. This birch tree is hiding her as if, so that, you know, it is providing a cover like a garment. Building a parapet of shade between, forbade the amorous sun to look on her. Sun will feel drawn and attracted. So it is forbidding. The tree is covering her. You can't see her, sir, because she is Asuryam Pashya, Don't touch her, don't try to kiss her, don't try to come near her. You will fall in love with her. So you see, now the mind is working in a certain way. Forbade, the tree forbade the amorous sun to look on her. No fold of gracious raiment was Esther. So the tree is also quietly, because you know he doesn't want to stir, rustle the dress the tree is wearing, because lest she is disturbed. The wind walked softly. Everything, Shubindo, makes them come alive with a divine touch. Several times today I was reading in Savitri where he speaks about the narrow path. And he says that brooding path. Why brooding? Because it's like a narrow concentrated path. Brooding path. So here he describes, the wind walked softly, silent moved a cloud. Why? Because she is sleeping. Nobody should disturb her. So wind is also moving quietly. Cloud is moving softly, listening. The wind walked softly, silent moved a cloud, listening. So they are all quiet. They are listening. Listening to something which has not yet begun. Listening. Of all the tree, no leaf was loud, but guarded a divine, expectant hush. They're all waiting to listen. They are all the audience. The sun may fall in love when they listen, when he listens. The tree is waiting. Not a leaf is loud. The cloud, the winds, they are all waiting in a divine, expectant hush. Something is going to outbreak out of that silence. Thrilled by the silence of a hidden thrush. See, thrush is a songbird. This is the interesting part. Thrush is not describing a woman. Thrush is a very small, some of them can grow a little big, bluebird, you know, robin. And if you hear, go on the video. I searched. They are part of song, but what a song. You'll actually not feel like after this talk we can hear the song thrush. You would search song thrush, you'll hear. Some of them whistle, some of them very sweet. Now imagine, Shobindu has poured, this is called a thing seen. The divine is seeing it. He's not saying, oh, small little thrush, what has it got to do? Shivoham, Shivoham, Sachidanandoham. This too is Sachidananda. That's why there is the divine expectant hush. In the audience, there is a hush. And what is this hush? Just by using the phrase adjective divine, he makes it almost like the hush before creation. Any creation is preceded by a hush. It was the hour before the gods awake. The huge foreboding mind of night alone in her unlit temple of eternity across the path of the divine event. So there is something going to happen. There is a divine outburst. All creation is a divine outburst. Why only the formation of galaxies? The clouds that move and rain, the song of the bird. And she is no recognized singer. It's not like there are gramophone records. She has not been invited to Oscars. And yet, creation, nature is waiting for that moment when creativity will burst out. And this is how the divine looks upon life. Not the way we look upon life. Very hastily, angrily, rashly. We label certain things as very small. Certain things are very big. When you look at a Sadhu Baba, oh my God. The day we look at a thrush also and say, oh my God, how beautiful this is. That is the sign that we are living in yoga. I'll read it again. Now you see. But till he speaks of the thrush, it looks like a woman or an angel. But as I said, at the end there comes I won't use the word twist, but a revelation. It's like a revelation. It's like Shri Aurobindo is saying, look, look, look there. So we are thinking, oh, what is some god emanation, some... But Shravindra is asking you to look. So you think, oh, some... You are going to see some emanation of some god or angel. Sir, where? Look there. Feel where there is hush, there is silence. So you don't know what he is showing to you. He is showing you the divinity of a thrush, of a little bird. And the divinity, when it begins to speak, this is the moment before the thrush has begun to sing. It's a small little bird. Like what we, I think, commonly call a swallow, but I don't think it's swallow. Earlier it was part of a large family. And some of them are so beautiful. Bluebird. I knew that somebody is going to start searching. Maybe after we finish, you can play the video. Song thrush. A thing seen, she in her garden. Whose garden is it? You think it's your garden? The thrush thinks it's her garden. You better not disturb. She in her garden, near the high grey wall. See, there is a hint there. It's like a riddle. A woman climbing up the wall, you really believe she will be sleeping on a parapet. See, now it's, as I said, like riddles. I don't know whether you have heard some of them, Umar Khayyam's those riddles, no? Amir Khusro. Bol sakhi hai, nahi sakhi wo. So it's like a riddle. Now you see, now he's already given the hints. There is a silver grey wall on the parapet she is sleeping. It can't be. That a silver-bodied birch tree tall that held its garments over her wide and green, building a parapet of shade between, forbade the amorous sun to look on her, lest she gets burnt, lest she gets hurt, because sun will fall in love with her. And what's going to happen after that, we don't know. No fold of gracious raiment was astir. Gracious raiment is the birch tree which has put the green canopy. The wind walked softly. The day we start looking at nature this way, wind is conscious. We become conscious of nature. We just say, oh, aaj hawa nahi chal raha hai. Wind is not there. We don't see that wind is going very softly. See the difference? When I read some of these things of Sri Aurobindo, it reminds me of Kalidas. I don't know why Sri Aurobindo has appreciated Kalidas to the utmost. Three writers in India, Valmiki, Vyas and Kalidas, are the ultimate. And several times he has also translated some of Kalidas' poetry. And it's quite likely that Kalidas was a vibhuti of Sri Aurobindo. Like in French Revolution. You know how Kalidas describes Himalaya, India. Himalaya is sitting with his measuring rod, its hands dipping into the sea. When you look at, you think of Sri Aurobindo somehow. Himalaya sitting majestically and with its hands dipping like a measuring rod into the sea on both sides. So whoever says Bharatvarsh is a modern conception, they don't know India was a nation. Kalidas describes that. So Kalidas, reminded me of a story from Kalidas. So when Kalidas was asked two of his disciples to complete one of his poems, I think it was Abhigyan Shakuntalam. I can't vouchsafe for the complete authenticity of the story, but I didn't get it from WhatsApp. And I find it fairly reliable. In any case, it's beautiful. So he asked two of his disciples, who will complete portions of it? So he asked them to describe in Sanskrit, I mean obviously Sanskrit, what they are seeing. So what did they see? A dry tree standing outside. How do we describe? Well, so the first disciple describes it. Shushko vriksha tishtati agre. Shushk is dry. Vriksha. Tree. Tishtati. Standing. Agre, in front of me. Kalidas says, okay. Called another disciple and asked him to translate, to describe. He says, Neeras taruvara vilasati purata. He doesn't say dry. It was once filled with rasa. So he's neerasa. See the difference? Taruvara. not Vriksh, Taruvar. So what if he is right now near us? Who knows, tomorrow he'll be filled with once again the ras. So it gives hope. Vilasati, who says he is standing? He is lording over. He is enjoying standing like that. Purata, on his own ground. So you see, she in her garden, the wind walked softly, silent moved a cloud, listening. Of all the tree, no leaf was loud, but guarded a divine, expectant hush, thrilled by the silence of a hidden thrush. All silence is the birth of speech. Silence is the birth of speech. Those who make a distinction, this is silence, this is speech. Without silence, speech won't emerge. And what does speech do? It enriches the silence. So there is a divine expectant hush. Same thing like creation. So we see creation enriches the creator. Otherwise these all qualities are there, Anand Gun, but all inside. But everything in creation owes itself to the creator. You can't imagine creation without the creator. But equally, creation enriches the creator. That is the relation between silence and speech. So here he says, all these are waiting, but guarded a divine, expectant hush, thrilled by the silence of a hidden thrush. The joy of waiting, this thrilled by the silence is so wonderful. Sometimes waiting is more beautiful than meeting. Long back, talking about becoming an ashramite, so people were asking me, oh, you have not yet become ashramite? I said, I am experiencing the joy of waiting. Why you want to snatch it too soon? Because this joy I won't get later on. After that, the joy of meeting. The joy of waiting. So divine expectant hush, thrilled by the silence of a hidden thrush.